Good evening, everybody. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Craig Debsky. I'm honored to be here today. Thank you, Ms. Johanna. I'd like to thank my friend, Mr. Dirk Siebert, and all the committees in his head for picking me. He's become a good friend of mine over the last few years, and it really is a blessing to be here tonight. What Johanna didn't tell you was that we almost got arrested when we went fishing. Because we were catching crabs and you couldn't keep the crabs. It was right after the oil spill. Remember that guy was yelling at us from the pier? Hey! So she didn't tell you the good part. I almost went to jail again. It is a great honor to be here. Never been to this part of the country. Reminds me of home in a way. Back in Michigan, reminds me of that area, you know, with the tall trees and the green and the wet weather. But it really is an honor to be here. I want to tell you that the date of my last drink is July 11th, 1998. And for that, I'm eternally grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous, God as I understand them, and direct sponsorship. My home group is the Blue Book Group in Magnolia Springs, Alabama, the best group in Baldwin County. And we meet Monday nights at 8 o'clock at St. Paul's Episcopal Chapel in Magnolia Springs. So if you're ever in that area, please drop by. We're a closed meeting. And we study the big book in the 12 and 12 in a rotation. We have great structure in our group, and it is really is a great learning tool and continual learning tool for me to be involved in a group that practices the fifth tradition, and that's extremely important to me. I want to tell you that I picked up a drink when I was very young. I developed a mental obsession to drink or use drugs at an early age, and that's what I did for a long time. I woke up one day and I had to have a drink to function. That went on for many years. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous for the first time in 1992 through the way of my first of many treatment centers. And I can tell you, that's when I really got sick. Because for the next 6 years, I was in and out of this program. In the end, I had no tolerance for alcohol. I was physically addicted immediately. If I picked it back up again, and I had to be medically detoxed to get off of alcohol. So today, I have a little bit better understanding of the power of the disease of alcoholism that I have. Okay? And it didn't start out that way. I was born in Detroit, Michigan. To loving parents. I had four brothers. We wanted everything, but we needed absolutely nothing. I went to Catholic school for 6 years, lived a fairly normal, middle-class life. My father worked for Chrysler Corporation for 38 years. I graduated high school, you know, I made it out of high school. Fairly normal. I always try to look back and try to see where I went wrong, but it really doesn't matter. You know, sometimes it's like I can really just rehash that. You know, what happened back then? And I'm never really sure. I don't think I've quite figured it out, but I know that I grew up in a time where things were active, and I can remember that I had a paper route, okay, back then, and we used to deliver to Detroit Free Press, and I had a couple buddies. They also had the routes, a couple different streets from me, but they were older than me, and so we'd deliver papers, and the one gentleman, his brothers were older than us, and some of you guys can relate. We used to call them greasers. You know, they had the black tight jeans and the leather coats, and they would stay up all night playing cards, and we'd steal their beer in the morning. Because we delivered that free press first thing in the morning. We'd go and snatch a couple of beers, go behind the school, and we're pitching quarters and drinking a couple of beers. And I can tell you that it my first drink of alcohol, I didn't get drunk, I didn't get sick, I didn't get crazy, but bingo, I developed that mental obsession, and it was immediate. You know, I just knew that I was going to do this again in some way, shape, or form. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. You know, like I said, I wanted everything, but I needed nothing. And I started to hang around with some people who were like-minded. And I had allowance. We used to get allowance from my father. I think I got $3, okay? So that gave it to me on Friday. I had four other friends, and we'd throw out that $15 and made $15 in a hat, and we'd get medicinal tobacco, and we'd have enough left over for a bottle of cheap wine. And that's really how I started. That obsession was already there, but now this was different. This was like, okay, yeah, every Friday. So, you know, right away, I got $3 on Friday, and Saturday morning I was broke. That might see a pattern forming as time goes on. But I just knew I was going to do it again, you know, and it was really no great big deal. I don't believe I got sick. I don't believe I got crazy. But I can remember trying to walk a block and a half home and thinking I would sober up in that time, you know, so my mom wouldn't be all over me. You know, your eyes are red. What have you been doing? And all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that just carried on. You know, I mean, I was, by the time I was in seventh grade, we were using all kinds of medicinal apparatus, I guess, or anything we could get our hands on that would change how I felt. And, you know, that's a very impressionable age. You know, when you're 13, I went to my first rock concert when I was 13 years old, and, alcohol and drugs were part of that picture, you know. This pattern just goes on and on. We've all lived it. We know it doesn't end good. You know, there's no happy ending. There's nobody, as Mr. Jim Smith used to say, nobody got here on a winning streak. I for surely did not get to Alcoholics Anonymous on a winning streak. And I don't want to be an Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what I mean? That's what my disease tells me. Why do you want to be an Alcoholics Anonymous? Because you can be a better person, Craig. But that ain't good enough, you know? that's a powerful disease. You know, but as time went on, things got worse and worse and worse. It's just like everybody here. You know, I crashed the cars. I've been in jail. You know, I traded my first wife and my 18-month-old son for a bottle of vodka. You know, I didn't care. It went on and on and on. 100 times I told myself I'm not going to ever do this again. The smell of that hospital and me being strapped to that gurney will keep me from taking another drink. That didn't work. You know, knowing what I'll do if I take a drink will not stop me. Today, that's a powerful disease. Wants me drunk or dead, not necessarily in that order. It's a powerful disease, folks. What happened was, I got tricked into coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? And I did. I'll swear by it to this day, I got tricked. Because I went to that first treatment center, or chemical dependency unit, they called it at the time, and they had Alcoholics Anonymous meetings in the hospital. They had a regular meeting, a registered meeting, and of course, once you stop bouncing off the walls, you were required to attend either an AA or one of the other fellowships. And so I went to Alcoholics Anonymous because alcohol was my master, and even though at the time I didn't think so, I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and right away you people tricked me, and I thought, yeah, maybe, you know, I must be like these people. Because here I am, you know, helpless and hopeless, and this is the first time, right? I'm pretty bad, but so you got me involved. I can remember chairing a meeting almost immediately. They said, you know, you don't have to know anything, you don't have to do nothing. You just read this piece of paper and you chair the meeting. They wanted me to be a part of right out the I mean, right out of the gate, okay? And my ego said, that's me. I get to stand up front. I get to read from this piece of paper. Y'all think I got some, you know, sobriety, or I'm, you know, kind of like you, or, you know, I didn't. My ego played a huge role in that. But I that first time, I think I didn't take a drink for 28 days. Woo! You know, and I was off to the races again. And that was that six-year progression I was I brought up in the beginning, was just so brutal. Brutal. You know, in the end, you know, I'm the kind of guy who had to have a drink, and when I couldn't have a drink, I was restless, irritable, and discontent, just like I found out later in that book. You know, I was the kind of guy that tipped up the half pints in a cabinet in my garage so that I could lick the caps before I went to work. Because if I drank too much, I wasn't going to work. You know, if I didn't get enough, I wasn't going to work either. You know, just enough. I'd line up all them little half pint bottles and lick the caps. Who does that? You know? Social drinkers don't go to rehab. Social drinkers don't tip up half pints of cheap vodka so they can get to work the next day. It was extremely brutal. But I got through it. You know? My mind's been all over the place today. Excuse me. But even in the end, I didn't want to stop drinking. In June of 1998, Detroit Red Wings won the Stanley Cup. I decided it'd be a great idea to have me a good time for a while, and I did. June 28th of that year, I went into another detox center for 5 days, and I got out and I drank same day. I drank for 9 days straight, and at that last day, I don't know what happened. I don't know what broke. I don't know what snapped. But I, the first thing, first and foremost, was I'm gonna lose my job. That really was the ramrod force at the time. And I said, okay, you know, and I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to Craig here. This is just me. I'm figuring it out on my own. Okay, Craig, you're gonna just ask this God these people keep talking about, and you're going to go to an AA meeting. And I did that. Okay, I detoxed for the last time at home, at work, and that was not pretty. But I kept doing that. Said thank you at night. Didn't take a drink. Woke up, said okay. Whatever God is out there, I don't want to drink today. Went to an AA meeting, and I did that over and over and over again. What happened was I woke up one day, and I didn't have the obsession to drink. And I knew it wasn't me. And that is the day that my journey of faith began. What I did then is then I went back to Alcoholics Anonymous, you people, and I said, okay, what do I do with this? How do I foster this relationship with a power greater than myself so I don't have to take a drink today? You said, hey, great, sit down here. Okay, it was at that time I got a real sponsor, you know. I had real sponsors, don't get me wrong. I just didn't use them the way I should have. They were a sponsor in, you know, like there's a ghost there. Yeah, I got a sponsor, yeah, I got a sponsor. But I got a sponsor this time, and the gentleman sat down with me, and through direct sponsorship, worked 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I haven't had to take a drink since that, you know, July 11, 1998. The tricky part comes, I think, for all of us is at some point we got to figure out how to stay. Dirk and I kind of talked about this past winter. That is really the crux of the problem now. How do I stay in Alcoholics Anonymous? How do I not take that first drink? Okay? And the big book lays that out quite quite succinctly. It tells us exactly if you do this today, this, this, and this, pretty good chance you're not going to take a drink. The doctor's opinions, it says you follow a few simple rules, okay? Last night we read our book is but to be a suggestion only, okay? To me, it's like I suggest you wear this parachute if you're going to jump out of this plane, Craig. But the point being is that, and this was brought up last night in our meeting, if I told, you know, Mr. Bob that he has to find this power greater than himself, he's not going to do it. That's just how, you know, if you tell a cancer patient, here, we're going to give you this medicine and we want you to go to a meeting once a week, your cancer's going to go away, they're like, yes. You know, tell that to an alcoholic and he's telling you how busy he is. Okay? I got that on the phone the other day. I got a guy, you know, a lady called me from Oxford, her son's in Fairhope. You know, would you call him? And he's da-da-da-da-da. And I said, you know, there's a meeting tonight. I can have a guy pick you up. And the guy says, I'm very busy. I mean, these are his exact words. I'm very busy. And I thought, okay. You know, and I got it, you know. You know, because I probably said them same words to somebody. I'm very busy today. Maybe I'll go tomorrow. But the problem becomes, how do I stay in Alcoholics Anonymous? And how you really tricked me in that was you said, we have three legacies of service, three legacies to our program. We have recovery, unity, and service. And Craig, we think it'd be a good idea if you made coffee, you know, at this home group that I got finally, that I said, okay, this is going to be my home group. And these people end up saving my life. But they said, well, we want you to make the coffee. And once again, my ego played a great part in that. They gave me a key to the church. And bingo, man, now I'm it, you know. And this is good. See, that's that tricky part, you know. Well, you're going to be okay. And of course, they're playing on my ego. They already know that my ego says yes to this, right? And this is what saved my life. These are the type of things that saved my life. You know, we want you to make the coffee. For the longest time at my home group, we on the last Tuesday of the month, we would have a cake for who was ever going to be, had an anniversary that month. And I was the cake getter. I took great pride in that. You know, I would go to the, what the heck was the name, the Oak Ridge Market, and I'd go there, and I had a little list of the names and everything, and I told the lady, now you get that name right on there, you know, Joe B, and da-da-da-da-da, and she knew what it was for, you know, but she was cool. But I did it, and I did it for a long time. You know, I didn't understand the spirit of rotation at the time, okay? But I can tell you this, and this is the truth, is that my mother was dying from cancer, and I had left work, I had picked up the cake, and this was just when cell phones were getting started, this is 2000, and I had a work phone, I didn't have a cell phone on my own, and I picked up the cake, and I was driving to my home group to drop it off early. And my father had left a message on the phone that I had, and he said, if you want to see your mother before she passed away, you know, you should come right now. And I got the message. I didn't talk to him directly. And I can remember being crossing the freeway on the overpass, and I thought, well, I got the cake, and if I go there, I'm not going to be able to bring the cake, you know. I took that cake, okay? Took the cake to my home group, drove back across town to my father's, and my mother had passed away. And that was okay, all right? I don't believe I would have made it anyway, according to my father, but I did what you people have been telling me to do for a long time, follow through, okay? If you're going to accept some type of responsibility, you're going to follow through. I know deep in my heart that my mother would have wanted me to deliver that cake. Because for the last 2 years of her life, she saw me when I didn't have to have a drink. And that was blessing enough. That was a huge blessing for her and for me. Okay? So now you got me tricked into some more service now, right? We had They wanted me to be GSR, right? And I wasn't too hip on that. So we had a we had an intergroup in Detroit, our central office, and we had a committee that would meet once a month, and they would central office had to answer to the committee. I forget what it was called. Man, that's terrible. But I did that. They said, okay, well, you don't want to be GSR. Why don't you go and do that? You only got to go once a month, Craig. And you sit there, and then you come back to the business meeting. You tell us what they said. You know, they had to report their finance, and we bought a new computer, and the phone cost this much, and blah, 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 blah. And there was a guy stood up, and he said, well, he was with the CPC committee, and that went right over my head. You know, he was talking about, we just did a talk with the school over here, and we had a health fair over here. And I had absolutely no idea what they were talking about at the time. But you had tricked me into going there. And I did that for the longest time, too. We don't have a treasurer no more. Treasurer, he had to move on. He went who knows where. Well, you know, why don't you be treasurer, Craig? And you're already sucked in, right? And now your ego steps right up to the plate again. Bam, I'm treasurer, and you're giving me the money. You're the leader. You know, you are in charge now. You know, my ego played right into that type of thing. There was no altruistic motives at that time. You know, that I had to be taught that. You know, I had to be taught spirit of rotation when I was doing that cake for so long, and they said, Craig, you know, really, you want to let Billy Bob over here do the cake for a while. You know, I had to be taught that stuff, you know, spirit of rotation. I had to be taught that, you know, love and service. I had to be taught that. I didn't get it. I did not understand that type of thing. But I did it, you know, and I kept track of the money. I paid the rent. That's where I met the Al-Anons. And that was a real trip. I was telling the guys yesterday, I said they were afraid of me when I went in to get the money from them. They're like, here's the money. And but they were great people. And, you know, I learned something else. I learned there was an Al-Anon, okay? I didn't know what it was. You know, they met right across the hall from where we were meeting at our AA meeting. I learned that because you had tricked me into doing some service. They finally wanted me to be GSR. That didn't work out so well because I didn't have the spirit of love and service at the time, okay? And I went to a district meeting and I thought, this just isn't for me. These people, there's way too many personalities in this, okay? And I couldn't separate it at the time. You know, I really couldn't. I wasn't capable yet. So I didn't do that. I continued to be of service in, you know, my home group the best I possibly could. That home group saved my life. There's men in that group that I will never be able to repay for what they did for me for all them years. It's just amazing, okay? Well, I retired from a job that I didn't deserve in August of 2009. I was a union carpenter for 30 years in Detroit, and I got to retire, okay? That's a miracle in itself, all right? You know, I made it that long, and it was not to my benefit to stay any longer, and I had taken a few vacations down to Gulf Shores. One sober, a couple not, okay? But I can remember driving through Magnolia Springs and driving west to east on 98 into Foley, and I thought, if I can ever retire, this is where I want to come. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a very rural setting, small town, and this is where I want to come. Well, in August 2009, I was able to retire, and in October, I took a trip down to Gulf Shores and found me a little trailer to stay in for that first winter, and I never went back. I never went back. I went back to close up my condo, and then I went back to fix it up a little bit, and I ended up renting it, but I never went back. First meeting I walked into in Magnolia Springs, Jim Smith, God rest his soul, Wayne and Judy were there, and was an old Wesleyan church. Is that how you say that? Wesleyan. Yeah, thank you. I always got that wrong. Eddie's mom and dad were members of that church. But we went in, I went in there, and I still have, well, no, I don't. I lost that little big book, but Wayne wrote his name and his phone number on the top of that book. And when I went back up north to get my stuff and came back, that's where I went, right back to my first meeting. I made that my home group. We eventually moved over to the Episcopal Church, I mean, like, right next door. The Wesleyans kicked us out. And I don't mean say that to be mean, but they, you know how when they change pastors or something, they sometimes that's the powers that be say that. Oh, they kicked out the Boy Scouts too, so I didn't feel so bad. They did. I was serious, you know. So we moved next door to some brand new digs at St. Paul's Episcopal Church. And I can remember these folks saying, you know, well, since you're going to be down here, well, we got a district meeting meets this Sunday. Why don't you go to that? Now, I'm already prejudiced. I've been to district meeting, right? I'm prejudiced. I know this isn't going to work for me. And I went, and we don't have a public information chair or a CPC chair, and I didn't even know what CPC stood for. I thought it was PCP. You know, you can get that really mixed up if you say it fast. So they said, the other guy, he moved on. We haven't had one for a while. Why don't you try that? You know, and they gave me these two big boxes of junk, right? That's my first two big boxes of junk. And you take that home and read that and come back next month and tell us what you're going to do. I was like, okay, you know, I have no concept. You know, I don't think I had really paid any attention to an AA guideline. You know, I had no, I had seen a service manual, really. I had maybe leaped through one once, maybe if someone was looking, you know, so I could say, hey, that's pretty cool. And I went home and I started to look at this stuff, you know, and I got involved. They said, we have a jubilee here once a year. You can be on that committee too if you want. You know, nah, yeah. And I was kind of a quasi not committee member on that, and went to my first Gulf Shores Jubilee and picked up cans and, you know, tried to police the area and did a lot of stuff like that and got involved in that. Not wanting to do any of it, right? You know, now I'm public information and I'm cooperating with the professional community at this point, which I don't even know what that means, you know. But they gave me a handbook, a work kit, a workbook. It looked kind of like in a binder like this. And all of the directions are in it. Now, where have you heard that before? Oh, all the directions are in that too, right? They said, all you gotta do is read that work kit, you're good. I found out you absolutely no experience necessary to do service work in Alcoholics Anonymous. None whatsoever, period. So I don't wanna hear, you know, I don't know how to do that, yeah? Too bad. Okay, I didn't know how either. I don't really care. All right, they have written everything down for us, and they update it all the time. They have pamphlets, they have workbooks, they have work kits, they have guidelines that are free. You can get stuff in this great big internet thing that we started having many years ago, and now it is just a plethora of information that you can obtain to do service work in Alcoholics Anonymous. No more excuses, they told me. Well, if you're the PI CPC chair for District 19 now, guess what? We go to area assembly four times a year. I'm like, what's that? Well, these guys will take you. They're going to go to Montgomery next weekend. It's next weekend. You know, how convenient, right? And why don't you go with them? You know, we'll give you a stipend, $100 or whatever it is. I'm thinking, all right, now you're giving me money. And so they tote my butt up to Montgomery at the governor's house there. It was still there. And I experienced area assembly for the first time. You got to remember, people, I don't want to do any of this. Left to my own devices, I don't want to do this stuff, okay? All this time, everything that you've taught me from this book is now translating into this other areas of my life, okay? And I'm getting better. I'm growing as a person. I'm becoming more tolerant. I'm becoming patient with people who I don't even want to talk to, okay? I'm learning to listen to you more and more. This is the trick. They played to my ego, which won, and now I'm becoming a better person because of it. That's a tricky situation. So I go to this area assembly. I don't have a clue what's going on, right? Blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Well, I tried to pay attention, and I got some useful information, more stuff written on paper and workbooks, and it told me exactly what to do. And I went to a public information committee, and I went to the CPC committee, and they had ideas that you could carry back to your districts on how to better serve, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous in your community. And I did them things. You know, we put the meeting schedules in the libraries, and we put them at the welcome centers, and, you know, I mean, little stuff like that. Made sure the libraries had the big books, 12 and 12s. I wrote some letters, you know. I picked a bunch of doctors out of the phone book and wrote them letters with a couple of pamphlets in here. Call me if you want more information. None of them ever did. And I did that same thing with the clergy in that area. You know, this, they told me how to do it. I went back and I did it, okay? And I kept going. Now you really got me, okay? Because somebody probably said, hey, we'll see you here in July then, right? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, I really don't want, I didn't want to come back. That's what I'm saying in my head. No, 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 no. Sure enough, in July, there I was again. Because of myself, I'm not going to do it. It ain't going to happen. What this teaches me continually today is that I got to keep asking. See, to be able to do this stuff, I had to invite God in. Okay, God, help me with this. You know, because over the years, what I've learned is the quicker I surrender, the easier it's going to be. I don't care what it is. The quicker I surrender to the fact that you have 23 items in the 20-item lane, and now you're going to write a check, the quicker I surrender to that, the easier it gets for me. Huh, what a concept. I didn't understand that. The easier it got for me. There's growth, and I don't even know growth is happening to me. It's amazing, right? So I keep going to area assembly. It's okay, all right? It's a weekend away. It's pretty good. I don't have cable TV at home. Hotel's got cable TV. I'm right up in there, okay? Chang, 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 chang. I was doing the same thing over here. Chang, chang, chang. Watch everything for 2 seconds. Don't like it, don't like it, don't like it. And that was a benefit for me, you know? There were some football games on that I wouldn't have saw, you know? See, tricked me in so I could watch cable TV. You know, I'm like, yeah, I can watch cable TV if I go there. Duh. You know, I can't get out of my own way. I mean, that really truly is a problem. So I did the CPC thing for a couple years, and a good friend of mine, who has become a good friend of mine in Pensacola, Terry S., he was the CPC chair, and I had been going over to Pensacola Hey, we're going to have a CPC committee meeting over there, and I would truck over there, get lost driving around Pensacola. Still can't find my way around that city. I don't know why. It's like a curse. But I would go over there, meet them. They would talk some stuff. They would teach me something else. Hey, why don't you try this, or why don't you do that? And it kept getting me in and in and in. So what they do up at area right before elections is they get some shooter. Okay, I call them shooters, past delegates. And they give you a little pep talk before the elections. It's this. They explain how the three legacies work, right? And so this mook, he says, well, if you're willing and able, you should be raising your hand. This was part of his spiel, you know. And, you know, it was right over the top of my head. And I go to the CPC committee meeting, and they got the little passing around the clipboard, and you sign your name on there. And then they go down the thing, and they say, so-and-so, do you want to stand for committee chair? Not willing and able, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And a guy calls my name. And the only thing I can hear is, are you willing and able? Okay? Now, I'm retired from a job I never deserved. Living somewhere I don't really deserve to be. It's, you know, a little bit of paradise. I have all the time in the world. Am I willing and able? Well, I'm able. All this in the 3.3 seconds when he called my name and asked me if I was willing and able. And I had to raise my hand because of what that gentleman said in the workshop. I don't know anybody. I mean, I know some people. Yeah, this is popularity vote. I'm thinking in my head, yeah, they're going to, you know, this guy's been here. He's going to da-da-da-da-da. Well, they go around. There was four or five. They go around and tally up the votes. A bunch of people wrote down my name. I'm thinking, that ain't going to last, right? And now there's two of us left. Myself and another lady. I'm thinking, this ain't right. They vote four times. And nobody wins. Okay? And is there a motion to take a fifth vote? No. Go to the hat. Who do you think's the name they picked out of the hat? It wasn't hers. And now, all of a sudden, you're a committee chair at Area Assembly, Alabama, Northwest Florida. What? Now what do I do? No problem, Craig. It's written down. There's some directions for you. We can give you that. No problem. And for the next 2 years, I served as a committee chair. Tricked again into doing something I don't want to do, and I became a better person for it. That's a real trick. Okay? I'm growing. Don't even know it. Don't even want to. Do that for the 2 years. Here comes the election time again. Okay? October. I don't like October, right? Da-da-da-da-da. The same gentleman gets up and gives the same talk at the workshop on the three legacies and how it works. If you're willing and able, you should be raising your hand. You should put your name on that board. Well, here I am still in Lower Alabama, retired with nothing but time on my hands. So, here's a big mistake. When they said, do you want to stand for secretary? I said, yeah. Oh, that was a big mistake. Now, some people, they must have known me. Now, I've been coming around for a solid 2 years. Before that, for 2 years. And they voted me the secretary. What a mistake that was. I told them, I said, you should have looked at my resume before before you elected me secretary, because I had zero skills, okay, to be a secretary. I was a carpenter, right? I beat nails. Welded, you know, slop stuff around for 30 years. You're a secretary. This is a huge job. My ego, okay, was over there in the first place, sitting in that chair when they asked me if I wanted to, if I was willing and able. My ego was still there, man. Go ahead, yeah, you area officer. You know, and that's cool, right? No, bam. What a monumental job. I can work the computer, but I'm illiterate. Okay, still. Word, okay? I don't have a clue. I do not have a clue. They're dead serious. I don't even know how to do it. And the gentleman who was rotating out, I mean, they take the vote and da-da-da, and they finish the rest of the voting, and you're wrapping up to go home, and he says, here, this and that, and this and that, and this and that, and this and that, and he writes this list out, even. I mean, there's just a multitude of things you have to do in this position. I'm like, what have I done here? You know, my ego is overplayed, or, you know, how do they say, you know, your mouth is writing checks that your butt can't cash? You know, that's what happened right then and there. And I struggled with it, you know, because if you're like me, you don't want to ask for help, right? And I struggled with it. But I went to the literature, and I asked questions finally, and I found out what to do, and I had somebody show me on the computer. You know, you got to make all this stuff up, and you got to line it up on the page, and da-da-da-da-da, and delete. And I didn't know how to copy and paste. Okay, I did not know how to copy and paste when I took that position. I can do it now. You know, I can say that. You know, you're mailing out 250 mailings, minutes, agendas, ask it, basket. Yeah, the roster you have to keep track of. You have to keep, you know, the motion book up to date. Da 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 da. What? And they give you a computer. You know, they give you the little laptop, and I can't even find anything on it, right? I don't even know what I'm looking for. That's how difficult that was for me. 2 years later, I was okay at it. You know, I got the stuff out when it was supposed to go out, and all the mailings went out, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, no experience necessary. There's no excuse for me not to be involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. See, you got to remember that where I was at, okay, to where I'm at now, I don't want to be there, but it's saving my life. You know, I would think to myself, it isn't fair I have to do all this stuff. And I see that guy over there. He only comes to one meeting a week, blah, 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 blah. He don't do nothing. I never see him at that, nah, 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 nah. You know, all in my head, maybe to my sponsor a little bit, because I know better than that, right? But what became of that was that I accepted that fact, that I got to do a little bit more. I'm not willing to take the chance. I'm not willing to not participate in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not willing to not participate in my own recovery. I'm just not. I know how powerful my disease is. Okay, there's a bar on the end of my street, on the corner of 98 and Grantham Road. I guarantee you, I want to know what's going on in there. One of the first times I drove by and on my way to the Blue Book Group, that first winter I was down there, the little sign out front said, was it Kelsey's at the time? I think it was Kelsey's Bar. Tiny is back. I want to know who Tiny is. That's powerful disease. I got no business going in Kelsey's Bar. They don't have sandwiches, okay? There's no sandwiches in there, right? That's how powerful my disease is. But God, as I understand him, kept me driving right across, right? Kept going west on 98, went to my home group. And I asked them, I said, anybody here know Tiny? I want to know who Tiny is. They all just laughed at me. They're like, keep coming, Craig. You know? And I did, you know. That's how powerful my disease is. I would tell my my ex-wife, Regina, wonderful woman, I'd say, just drop me off at the corner. What could go wrong? I could walk home. Okay, let us know how that works out for you, you know. And I would call my old sponsor back in Detroit, and I would tell him stuff like that, too. He said, let me know how that works out for you, you know. Guys that would text me, everybody knows how to do that, right? Back in the day, watching Cops, thought of you. He still does that to this day. Now, I use that on people, too. I'd use it on some sponsees of mine. Watching Cops, thought of you. But it's true, you know. How did I get from here to there? The love of the fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous, you people saved my life, flat out. Okay? I found my God through you people. He continues to save my life. On page 23, it says, therefore, the problem centers in the mind of the alcoholic. I don't have a drinking problem today. After I got here, you told me I didn't have a drinking problem. So this is but a symptom of your disease, Craig. You have a thinking problem. And I will think my way out of here. Guaranteed. I don't go to AA because I can't drink. I go because I can and I will. You can bet on it. Absolutely. You know, my faith is restored at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. My faith is restored when I come here and I meet new people. My faith is restored. One half of my brain manufactures BS and the other half buys it. Okay? I don't manufacture faith. My faith is restored at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting when you tell me what you did that you didn't have to take a drink today. And whether that was service work or that was calling another alcoholic, whether that was reaching your hand out as a greeter at your home group, getting involved in your home, whatever it was that day you did, I need to know that. What you did today to not take a drink, that is still first and foremost on my list. There's a powerful, powerful disease that doesn't want me here. It doesn't want me in Mont Eagle, Tennessee. It doesn't. Wants me back in Detroit or somewhere drunk. You know, from being a guy, I could tell you where all the liquor stores were, you know, in a 5-mile radius of my house, what time they opened and closed, you know, but couldn't recite or show up for work on time or, you know, doing all that. But I sure knew when them liquor stores opened and closed, you know. I could tell you because I rotated, you know, we all do that too. That is the power of my disease. It's still right outside the door. And I welcome you, all of you who stood up and said today that you have less than 1 year. It is such a blessing. Because I sat where you are and I thought, that guy is nuts. Okay? I don't want anything he's got. Sounds like he's crazy, you know. Look at him. You know? It gets better and better and better and better. And I'll say this too. When you're in your A&A meeting back home, look around at the old timer. And reach your hand out to an old timer. We forget about the old timers. Maybe their sponsor passed away. Their sponsor of 35 years. Maybe their sponsor passed away and they're struggling. They ain't gonna say it. But I learned that from you people, to pay attention to what's in front of me. Pay attention to the old timer. I'm paying attention to who's walking in that door at my home group. If it's a new face, I guarantee it. When there's people around me that could be dying inside. You know, my pride and my ego at 18 years without a drink, okay? Now add 20 years to that. My pride and ego was going to be huge. Okay? Why do you think that so many of us with double-digit time that go out can't get back? I watch it every day. Every day. Can't get back and stay back. Pride won't let you. Pride's going to kill you. Okay? Knowing that ain't going to stop them. So that's why I say be present to who's around you, especially in your home groups. Be present when you go to other meetings. You know, don't talk about your vacuum cleaner and your cat when there's somebody suffering in that room. Somebody new. Be present. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me. Be present to what's in front of you, Craig, for once in your life. Stop thinking about Craig for 38 seconds. Because that's all I do. Think about Craig. If I'm not involved in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm thinking about me. Guaranteed. Still to this day, that has not changed. Okay? Alcoholics Anonymous is the only thing that's ever gotten me outside of myself. I don't think of doing something for you and nothing in return. What is that? Okay? What a blessing you gave me with that. How I've grown from the inside out. You know, I don't carry the prejudice and intolerance and the hatred in my heart anymore that I used to have. Because you taught me a better way. You taught me a way out. I don't deserve any of that. Absolutely not. You people truly are a blessing to me. And I hope the rain stops, so we can enjoy a little bit of the outdoors up here. I would like to see a little bit more. I'm truly honored to be here, and thank you so much for your time.